This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 298. My name's Turner Sparks.
Je m'appelle Michel Kaplan.
Woo wee wah wee wah woo woo. Look at that.
I'm the son of a French teacher, so I had to
roll out with one thing I remember. Dr. Bob Kaplan taught French?
Yes, Dr. Bob. No, Jan Kaplan before
she speaks
before
French.
She had all she was a French teacher back in the day before she had many children.
Wee
wee.
Wow. So she speaks French. Is she the only person in Allentown, Pennsylvania who speaks French?
Only the, her and the other French teachers at all the schools are the only people who speak French.
Look at that. None of the students.
None of the students, no. Mrs. Cook, shout out, my old French teacher. But yeah.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. I put new comedy clips up all the time. Find Kaplan at Kaplan America on all social media platforms. Kaplan NYC, if you need to, you need some real estate in the New York City area. It's a big real estate
big wig
salesman big now. Wig. And follow us at Lost in America Pod on Instagram. Every week now we're putting out new comedy clips from our Live from the Bunker show, which we recently renamed Lost in the Bunker.
Yeah, got to get that new name right.
And that is our Patreon show. We'll get to that in just a second. But Kaplan, on the podcast today, we have Adrian Arnoux back from France. We're talking about all these protests that are going on over there because they want to retire early.
I mean, it's very reasonable. Who the hell? Who the hell likes working? Nobody does. So
we don't want to work.
Take the street, burn it down.
So we're gonna go into the streets and march.
Yeah,
I just want to play. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we will get to Adrian. That's his voice. We'll get to him in just a minute to talk all about that. And I want to know why the French are better at protesting than we are. Why they're more
successful. It's one thing they're definitely better at.
That's what we're gonna find out, Cap. Before that, support our show, everybody. The way to support us. Patreon.com/Lost in America. You get our Lost in the Bunker exclusive Patreon only podcast.
Show. New name, same
show.
Do
twice a week where it's a full throttle comedy podcast about what's going on in our lives. A lot of it turns into my stand up that you see on stage. I'm in the middle of writing a new hour. So this is the way to get on the ground floor of my stand-up. When the special comes out, you won't even have to watch it because you've been listening to the Patreon.
And since I never do stand-up on stage, this is the only way you get my hot takes. So
This is all of Kaplan's comedy.
This is my entire outlet.
The people who subscribe over there, I think we're up to like 75 subscribers, something like that. Everybody loves it. And now's the time to get in because we said if we went over $400 a month, we would throw a big party for all of our subscribers. We're at $450 a month. We got to throw the party. So you'll be included in the party.
Get in now. We should set a deadline if you want to be in on the party invite.
So. That's a good idea. I'm writing that down for next week.
Deadline next week.
Deadlines Sign work. Up. We know. Yeah. Deadline for party. Okay. After that, you're not included, even if you do subscribe.
And then give us enough money.
Everyone's asking. So we should update people here. Our show, we went to El Salvador last summer. We did this podcast, but as a pilot for a television
TV version.
Self-funded TV show. We should have done a GoFundMe.
We're real dummies.
We pay for ourselves like a couple
of
boomers.
Such idiots. Such schmucks.
But all the comedians I know now, they're like, I want to make a TV show. Give me $100,000. And then everyone's like,
right.
Okay.
And they get the $100,000.
For nothing. Exactly. They're not even invested in the show. Well, I get the perks.
We didn't have the confidence in our friends and our family, I guess. We didn't realize that, like, we were too, is it shameless? Not shameless enough. We weren't shameless enough. That's what it was.
Well, we're too old. I didn't know people will give you money for nothing. I thought they had to have like an ownership in your business.
No. Nobody cares about ownership anymore. People will give to any GoFundMe link that's ever sent to them. They will just give money to
any GoFundMe link. Anyway, point is, we went to El Salvador. We filmed Lost in El Salvador. And we will find out in a couple, we're still a couple weeks away. We'll find out if we got into the Tribeca Film Festival. That's kind of what we're waiting on right now for the next step. Everyone is like, everywhere I go on the street, everyone's stopping me. What's the next step?
We're going to find out any day now.
And if you didn't get in, Kaplan, you're fired from this podcast because you worked for the Tribeca Film Festival for 15 years. And if we don't get in, it's squarely your fault.
Well, I know where a lot of bodies are buried, so we're going to get in.
All right. I like it.
Making threats already.
If we get a notice that says we're not in, that's when Kaplan really goes to work.
That's when I pick up the phone and call the National Enquirer.
That's when your work begins. Catch and kill. Catch and release. Yeah,
exactly.
Kaplan, anyway. On the podcast today, as I said, we're talking. Oh, yeah. Patreon.com/LostNerd. For $5 a month, you get that. So throw it in. Be a part of the crew and the pod army. And then we'll give you a shout out next week on this
podcast. And then for $20 a month, we will any advertisement you write, we will read on this show. So
exactly. Any ad. And we have more of those coming next week. Kaplan, now.
Yeah.
France, they're protesting. Yeah. What do you know about this protest?
I mean, as you mentioned in the open, the French are protesting all the time. So, you know, there's always
hard
to
keep up.
It's hard to keep up with. An airport's closed, the train station's closed, the hospital's closed. That's just normal French life. So at first I wasn't paying attention. Even when I was seeing like they were lighting things on fire, the streets were burning. But then I saw they had to cancel a state visit from King Charles. So I said, oh, this is getting serious now. You know, I thought maybe the protesters, that's why they were doing it.
Did they say off with his head if he comes to our
country? Off with his head. They just exactly. He said, let him eat cake and that would be done with it. But no, in all seriousness, they've been protesting because, as you said, they were going to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64.
Yeah.
Seems are kind of reasonable to me, but we'll get into that. I assume it's going broke, you know, like us, their pension
system. Like every country in the world, there's too many boomers.
Because people live too long today. When they wrote all these laws, people were just dying. They didn't have all this medicine. They were giving people leeches for everything.
Well, they also didn't think that World War II would end and everybody would just start banging.
Right. People used to also die in wars all the time. That's the other thing.
Exactly. They didn't predict drones.
They didn't predict drones. They didn't predict any of this stuff. So now people are living and countries are dealing with it. And they're trying to raise the age to 64. We know the French don't want to work ever. So they definitely don't want to work two extra years. The last thing I know is they didn't actually get it passed through their parliament. They didn't have the votes. So they just like came up with some loophole. I think it's called like Article 49.3 or 49.2, or we'll get, and they just like passed it anyway. So now people are really mad about that, I think, because, you know, it doesn't seem very democratic. So maybe I'm actually on their side.
So they passed this raising of the
pension,
the retirement age without a vote.
Without a vote. Yeah. Cause they didn't have the votes.
So. Adrian Arnoux, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back live from Paris. Yeah. You're coming to us from,
I believe it was Paris.
And how did Kaplan do? I didn't jump in on that one because he covered most of what I knew as well. But how did we do on the?
That was pretty accurate. That's pretty much what's going on.
Look at the leeches. I'm firing all cylinders today.
So
the loophole that the dude found. I think that's the main issue. That's the main source of anger
Macron,
at this point. Is
right.
It feels very like dictatorial.
Emmanuel Macron.
Just bypass the government and find a loophole in the Constitution. And that's why most people are mad at this point, I think.
That's why everyone's mad. So people started this. Was it announced that this was going to happen in January? And then it actually happened in March, early March.
You got to realize, you got to understand something. Something similar has been happening since I was a kid. Okay. It's been going on for...
Every year they've been trying to raise the raise age.
Yeah, and I'm 38, so yeah, that was a while ago. You know, I remember 95, the roads were blocked because of the same thing. And then I think 2003... every 6 to 7 years or so, it's also, I think it's a French tradition to just go outside and burn shit up when we're not happy.
Yeah.
I think it keeps the balance to like, you know, it really shows you're
alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're just so scared of the country becoming some sort of dictatorship where the people don't have any power that we just panic and set dumpsters on fire.
So when you say it happened when you were younger, it was, they've been moving it up a year, like the retirement age back a year every year.
Yeah, I remember from when it went from 60 to 62. That was already a big mess. And I think the main argument is for the jobs that are like really hard to do when you're old, like, you know, collecting garbage and all that shit. Like the like it's not the white collar jobs that are a problem. Right,
we don't want a 64-year-old garbage man. It's a little.
Yeah. And he'll die anyway. I mean, it's some jobs are just exhausting. So I think that's the main argument. Obviously, if you work like a office desk job, you might be able to stick around for a couple more years. It's mostly like the, you know, manual.
I mean, anybody. My dad's still an accountant. He's 74. He's almost 75. But a lot of that is just kind of sleeping and then waking up every once in a while.
Well, my dad's still a podiatrist at what? He's 72, I believe. So
yeah, but, you can check people's feet. But you're right. It's the hard blue collar jobs that are more difficult.
Yeah, because also you also get a class of people that feel like they're pointless and dead if they don't work, and like they're gonna work until they're like 80.
Hate those people. Because
they just don't. They just don't want to retire and cultivate a garden or whatever.
Listen, don't talk about our president that way. Thank you.
But is it? It's all anybody who's in a government employee, or like, how does it work? Or is it just everybody? Like this is Alexa.
It's also it's a fuckover because you got to start working really young, and then it's got to be legal hours, and you know it's hours that you work throughout your life, and then at the end they just calculate it and they go, here's how much you deserve, which is usually half of what you used to make. But it's about collecting hours over like, I don't know, 20, 30 years.
What about for comedians? Can I ask, will you be the beneficiary of any of this, or do you have to work for a company or work for the state or something to get
how does that? Great question.
I think had I started to get paid legally with comedy earlier, I could bank on like the idea of retirement because I only started getting paid like properly when I was like, I don't know, 32.
It takes 10 years in comedy to make any amount of money.
Yeah, it took a minute, and some of that money was, you know, kind of off the grid too. So
yeah,
it doesn't count. It's not going to count.
The French IRS isn't listening. It's okay.
I mean, I'm taking chances, I guess. Yeah, I guess if I started to make money with comedy at 20, maybe I could retire at 60, 65. But hopefully by then I'll have enough.
You could have a tour, the retirement
now,
tour.
I mean, I guess if you file your taxes, like, do you pay into a fund that they would come back to you as retirement?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what we do.
Yeah. Okay.
And we call that cotise. I don't know. Collect. So by the time you're like 61, 2, 3, 4, this was supposed to like look back and say, well, this is how much you worked. This is how much you deserve.
So for us right now in the United States, I looked up, it's 67. Did you know that?
That's to collect Social Security, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want you in America. They do this thing where if you wait to take it a few years, it's like a gamble. You actually collect more money.
Yeah.
And you have to really, you're betting on yourself. That's when you're like, all right, I got to eat healthy now. Because if you die, it backfires totally.
Yeah. If you die, then you should have taken it earlier.
Yeah, so you gamble on yourself. But have they thought of that idea over there, or no? It's all just flat.
The longer. So is Dr. Bob Kaplan, is he waiting? Is he like, I'll wait one more year, and then I'll get even more?
I mean, considering he still works, I think he bets on himself. Yeah, I hope. I don't know. Actually, I should ask him.
Yeah,
I think doctors in France have a specific title where they might be allowed. Some people are just not allowed to keep working. It's just a law. And then,
well, I think, I mean, no offense to Dr. Bob, but I think doctors should be included in that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want some like blind 90-year-old doctor working on me.
He has his license, but yeah, that's a fair point. In France, speaking of doctors, is it, no matter how much you make, you still collect? Like, because in America, even if you're wealthy, you're going to collect because you put money into the system.
Yep.
In France, it's the same way. Yeah, you still get, okay.
So I want to get into this. It seems like I've been doing some research today. The French are much better at protesting and striking than American people are. Meaning when it happens, it's more effective. That's just proven. You guys get what you want more often than we get what we want.
Yeah.
And.
Sorry. Well, go on.
Do you agree with that? I guess let's start there.
Well, I don't think. Are these protests comparable? Because like the last protest I can remember from the U.S., I mean, I don't know, it's like George Floyd and all, like, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, they solved it, and there's no more police shootings.
Yeah,
ever.
I didn't do anything.
And you fixed it. And
I mean, a problem was fixed from our protest.
To be honest, nothing got solved from that.
A bunch of corporations made like statements about social justice. That's what they accomplished, really.
Yeah. They put out commercials about how we, you know, Nike was like, we support everyone. And then that was kind of it. And then we all moved on.
I don't see a lot of protests in the US based on like financial, you know, stuff.
No, we had Occupy Wall Street was the famous one.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That did nothing. But, nothing came out of that, right?
I mean,
and
Did Wall Street change anything based off that? I was out of the country.
I don't think anything changed. No,
yeah, I don't think it's. So.
And then the Tea Party on that was like a kind of like fundamental. Well, yeah, the most successful protest was January 6th. That's our style. So that's where
Original Tea Party where they threw the tea into the harbor.
Yes, we did invent this stuff. We were good back then. Yeah, that was a real protest.
We kicked out the British, but it seems like France. Yeah. So anyway, ours don't really lead to anything. Kaplan, what is your confidence when you see a protest in the street that it's going to lead to real change in America? Mine's like 0%.
It's not. But I think also, and we should get into the French difference with France, is that our unions aren't very strong. So I think a lot of protests are like union backed and our unions have like no power. They're just like most of these jobs aren't even union anymore. So yeah, when our unions protest, everybody's like, screw them. Like, you know, the air traffic controllers protested in the 80s and Reagan was like, fuck them. We'll hire new people. And Americans, even like my dad was like cheering it on because even Americans.
Oh, in America, my parents, too.
Even if you're not a Republican or whatever in America, you're just like, I want to get on a plane. I don't care about your issues.
I think we're so self-centered. We're like, no, we're I want to get this done today.
I'm going to Florida.
Yeah.
So but in France, I imagine, are people more sympathetic to the plight of the worker? I don't know.
Well, I think the union thing is right. Right. That's a good point. And also, I think it's a culture thing where most of the protests are about like preserving, you know, what you would call the safety nets that we benefit from. So I don't think that's the culture in the U.S. to burn shit down for rights.
We like to do stuff without a net.
Yeah.
If you need a net, you're weak.
Where's the thrill?
Yeah. If you
exactly.
If you could become a homeless guy masturbating tomorrow, where's that rush you're getting from life?
Yeah, but that was off air. I'm calling back to
something that happened in my neighborhood the other day. Sorry.
It happens in every neighborhood every day.
It's part of the New York experience.
But that is true. The American culture is I can do this on my own and you should be able to too. If you need help, then you're weak, right? I mean, frankly, that's the basics of it.
Yeah, and I think most of the protests that we got are based on that. I mean, sometimes we get the regular, like, I don't know, price of gas and all that shit. But I think it's in the culture. Like, really, it's really something that every French person in every class, financial class, is going to protest if they're what they perceive as their rights is going to be threatened. And it could be doctors, it could be, you know, construction workers, it could be anybody.
Right, yeah. That's very different. We don't have doctors protesting in America. That's never.
No.
I mean, like when Obamacare, maybe some doctors might not have liked some of the provisions, but they weren't going to get out in the streets and picket or something.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Cap. I mean, so what I read on March 7th in France, because of this bill, 1.28 million people protested on the streets. And then even up like March 28th, just a couple days ago, 740,000 people protested. Is there... On something as, I guess, non-sensational, as boring as it might be, as raising the age from 62 to 64, you cannot get over 1 million people in American protests. It has to be something sensational. Like, well, somebody and we gets have more killed on film, right?
Yeah, and it's also like we're all like after ourselves. Like, we're selfish. Like, these people, there's young people protesting. This doesn't even affect them. You know, like university kids are out burning shit down.
In France?
In France, yeah, and they're not retiring for 50 years, you know, like they don't even start working yet. We don't do that. In America, it's like the specific group protests.
This would be one day, it would be on the news, and then it would get no ratings because on the other news channel, there would be like a storm,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, a bomb cyclone is hitting Nebraska, and everyone would watch that. And then the first news channel, News Channel A, would learn their lesson and not put this raise the Social Security thing on the news anymore because no one's watching.
But we also wouldn't have something like, I mean, they were doing it like 3 days a week, right? It's like Tuesday. Was it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? It was
Into that. Yes.
Yeah. So, and in fact, the schools would close. Like, I would fucking lose my mind if they closed schools 3 days a week. I don't care what the cause is. I'd be like, no, kids are going to school.
So we read that these protests were coordinated and were happening in France. They've been happening every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Is that correct?
Pretty much, yeah. Hopefully, because I gotta do a spot tonight.
it's Friday tonight.
Friday night.
Recording this.
And yeah. What's the?
It's not every day, yeah.
And then why is there some logic behind the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday thing?
Need rest.
I guess
days.
They're just worried they're gonna be tired, or, yeah.
or it's like you do chest workout on Tuesday, legs on Thursday,
recharge the batteries
glutes on Saturday. You gotta rest in between.
Because the thing is, what's going on right now is it's getting more and more brutal when it comes to the police and how they act towards the protesters.
They're not as...
It's starting to feel like if you go to a protest, you're gonna get your ass kicked by the cops. One guy lost one of his testicles, I think. One woman lost a thumb. You can lose like an eye or something.
Losing a thumb? That seems. How did that happen?
Because the cops can't really shoot you, but they can shoot you with like fake. We call it flashball. Yeah, it's called flashball over there. I don't know.
It's like paintball.
probably a lot more hurtful. And then the sticks.
Flashball.
Like I got it, Kaplan. But like a gun. I'm asking Adrian, what is it?
Flashball. I guess it's like a form of gun where the bullet is like rubbery, so it doesn't kill you or something. And we also got the tasers. We got the big controversy right now is we got cops on motorcycles just fucking slaying people with a how do you call it a stick?
A whip? Like a whip? Oh, a baton?
No, not a fucking whip. No, I guess the stick, the police, the baton,
police, the bully
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and that's also it's starting to feel like, oh, we're not really allowed to protest anymore, I guess, if they're going to, because they'll punch tourists and kids. They don't give a shit. So that's becoming a little preoccupying, I guess.
Right. So you have to protest that then, the police violence.
Yeah. And I think that's what's slowly making it worse is because the president is like, I don't give a shit. I'm still doing it. And then his police is beating us up. And so even people that were like kind of for upping their retirement age at this point, they're like, they feel disrespected a little bit.
Okay.
Like, oh, you just don't listen to the people.
Getting too into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the president is like, I don't care what's going on.
I saw that they arrested a woman because she called the president like garbage on Facebook or something. Like, there's not even, they're like cracking down on like online stuff. So they're
really,
I saw that in an article. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the free speech rules are, but.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up, especially I guess if there's a threat in the tweet, maybe. But
right, maybe there was more to it. Yeah, she may have threatened him.
But it's not something to do a lot. It's probably to make an example out of her. Mm. It's not necessarily because if it kept happening a lot, that would be a huge problem. Because now it sounds like a dictatorship. Like, you can't criticize on Facebook and you can't protest. It's like, how is it?
Yeah,
a
that seems kind of nuts. So in America, when we have a strike. Like, even go back to the George Floyd. That was the biggest one in recent memory. And no essential services shut down. The trains in New York City, the subways still run. The trains still run between the cities. The post office still, the trash gets picked up. The post office post gets delivered. So there's not much bargaining power that the protesters have. What happens in France? Like, for this protest, for example.
I think because we get some of these like George Floyd type protests, it's just, you know, less people die, but it's still pretty brutal. You still get the video, occasional videos of policemen, brutalizing minorities, I guess.
Taking that thumbs happens. Off. And
yeah. Yeah. And that can happen, but I don't think that would cause a strike. That would cause people going down in the street and call it a protest, but I don't think people would stop working. I think it would be the same as the U.S. I think what's going on right now is just about money and work, and so that's tied in. So, like, for example, in my neighborhood, the garbage people were on strike for a while, so it was just fucking piles of garbage everywhere.
Like a trash everywhere in Paris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was kind of funny, actually.
That's why the King Charles couldn't come, because of that. It was too dirty for him.
Yeah, it felt unsafe. Like, where was he going to go? I mean, and it's a bad look. To his first visit as king, and he's just got to dodge, protests and shit. Yeah, it was a bad idea. It's probably a better idea to have him later.
So, did the I feel like if the trash company, we also read that the trains were stopped. Is that true?
Some of them, yes. Okay. It's changed. You got to Google it every day. Okay, to see where the protest
is. There like
is
an app that tells you what's closed, like so you know how to plan your.
You just follow the Metro company and on Twitter, and they'll just tell you everything about.
But what if the person in charge of their social media goes on strike? Then you're really screwed.
Like, well, we still got to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
And schools were shut down some places.
If I had kids, I'd be aware of that. But
you don't
I
know.
Don't,
yeah. How?
You're lucky.
Why? If they. So if the trash company shut down for a week, why wouldn't they just shut down forever until the law gets changed? Because I feel like that would do it.
I guess that works. I guess at some point they're like, all right, let's make a deal because the city is just littered with piles of garbage. Like, it's a joke. Like, it's
– yeah.
It's. I think it happened in Italy a few years ago, and I remember seeing the, you know – the images and being like, oh, fuck, that's it. And yeah, it pretty much happened down my street. It's kind of funny because it's a rich neighborhood. So see all these rich people just, you know, walk across garbage and yeah. Horrible, like dead smells of.
I think it would only take a couple weeks for laws to change if they just stuck with it. It's interesting they did it for a few days and then went back to picking stuff up.
I mean, I think maybe it went on for.
Paid off.
I wonder how long it took Paris to get to like looking like New York City. Because we just have trash all over the place and we have no one striking. So
I should have taken some pictures to show you, but yeah. It was pretty bad because it lasted for about a couple of weeks.
Wow.
A
couple of weeks.
And maybe more. And I think it's over now, but yeah, that's the, cause they just want, you know, they just don't want to work. Until
do you know how it ended? Because nothing got changed.
It's very complicated because, you know, depending on the district, this is a different company and blah, blah. So it's a, okay. And some stuff is privatized, some stuff is not. And some people work for the state, some people don't. So it's a mess.
So some right. kind of deal got made.
You need the mob to be in charge of the waste management business like here. And then no one's striking.
Like, pretty sure that's what happened in Italy when it had the yeah. problem.
So but. What I think another thing I read. Why your protests seem to be more successful or historically have been in enacting actual change. First of all, I guess let's go here. Do you think this will lead to any real change? Do you think that they'll stop the law from getting put in?
I always feel like someone has to die for anything to change. But no, I mean, if the country is really paralyzed and everybody's like, you know, holding on to it, at some point people have no choice but to kind of backtrack, I guess. But it could also lead to nothing, like it has many times. You know, it's potentially it can work. You know, it's
does it feel that way? Does it feel paralyzed right now, or does it feel like normal life?
It's fine. Just a lot of, you know, gatherings and cops that are worried, and it's tense. It's tension. What you feel? It's not like a war. It's not war all the time or every day. And even when there's like massive protests in Paris, this is. I don't know, 80% of the city where you can just walk around is not, you know, you just got to know right. which places to avoid.
Okay. It's like an average American city. You know what neighborhoods to avoid.
Now. Yeah, instead yeah. of like gang activity, you just have it's the protest activity. Just
exactly. avoid them. Yeah, because the cops will not care if you're just here by accident. They won't give a shit. They'll arrest you. They arrest yeah. a lot of people and then release them the next day.
I mean, the Frenchmen have to have a place to go to have their affairs. That can't be disrupted. You know, like the day-to-day life of a Frenchman.
Exactly.
Go on. It's a mistress. And
when you...
Sorry.
When you come to America, do they... Like, I know you've been to New York. I don't know if you've been to other yep. cities. But do you actively kind of look up, like, oh, what neighborhoods to avoid and what neighborhoods to go in? Because
well,
living outside of U.S. for 12 years, I found it very interesting that every city in America has a neighborhood you just don't go to. And then yeah, it also has, like, a really nice neighborhood.
that would be similar, I guess, anywhere in the world.
It's France. China wasn't like that. In China, when I lived there, the poor neighborhoods are still safe. They're just poor, but no one has guns.
Right.
Also,
right.
Well, my last two trips to the U.S. were L.A. and New York. So you know, I listen to a lot of rap. I know where not to go, and everybody knows
any place mentioned in a song.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's pretty much how I picked it. So and yeah, so I, when I was in LA, I pretty much, you know. I did the Hollywood, West Hollywood, and then, you know, the north, yeah. northern yeah. like
West Hollywood's pretty safe.
Yeah. I got in Sherman Oaks. That was pretty safe. And New York, I guess I just stayed in Manhattan. I just didn't want to take any chances. And
you got to come out. Next time you're here, come out to Queens. I'll show you. I'll show you the sights. 100 Point South.
Yeah, I didn't even go to Brooklyn. I was going to go to Brooklyn, but I pushed out, I guess. But,
I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there's Turner's nice in Brooklyn. Places. He'll show you around.
Here's the thing. I'm by myself. I'm completely by myself, and I got, you know, a face of, you know, it's kind of open.
Right.
That people might want to, you know.
A Frenchman.
A mug me face.
A mug me
face. Yeah, exactly. That's so, but I guess in most parts of the world, most cities in France, there's like always like at least a tiny block that you can't go to, you know. And then maybe nothing will happen. Like, you know, there's some like, you know, infamous. I mean, you might just walk around and nothing's going to happen, and then you might get mugged in a rich neighborhood. It's also that factor in, you know.
True,
but are they lighting things on fire? Is it in these specific neighborhoods that people that can be anywhere? Because I'm watching. I saw a picture of like a couple sitting at a beautiful looking cafe bistro place, and then in the background they're just like burning.
Because I think for the most part, where the protests happen, it's kind of decided upon before it happens with the police and the government and shit. Like, we're gonna go there, okay, yeah. And then sometimes it just, you know, gets off the rails, but yeah, I was, most of the protests are in like the center of the city. That's where everybody congregates, and then, you know, it's just becoming like weirder and weirder. And like, there's like spontaneous protests that were not planned that just kind of happen. And then everybody's on Twitter, so they can kind of like, you know, gather, congregate, using Twitter. And I don't know what's going to happen. It feels, you know, when you've been living in France for as long as I have, it just feels like, you know, same shit, different day at this point. It's really, yeah.
But do you know anybody who's down there? Or any eyewitnesses from the...
No, I know. All I know is comics who try to get to their spots, and it's just a fucking nightmare.
If this is America, we would have... There would be a certain amount of comedians out there leading the protests.
For credibility, yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, not even... They might agree with it. They might not care, but it's like an angle. Everybody's looking for an angle on how to get famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the angles on how to get famous...
Social
and by
justice.
The way, for the listener, I just want to say, where this has now become a very authentic French podcast.
Yes, we got to say that.
Adrian's smoking a cigarette on the air.
He's smoking a cigarette. He just got like a... Inside, he did ask us if it was okay, which I liked.
So,
you never know, huh?
We've had comedians. Obviously, there were comedians protesting with the George Floyd protest. There was also a comedian, famously, who stormed the Capitol on 9/11. And she went in. I mean, not 9/11.
9/11.
January 6th.
A 9/11 comedian.
There was a comedian flying the plane on 9/11.
Yeah, our last.
Who was the comedian on in the
January
Capitol?
6th? Who was the comedian again? It was...
Chrissy Mayer is her name.
Oh, yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, and she stormed the Capitol on January 6th. And
you
then
got to have
she,
an angle.
And then because she wanted to get famous, you know, and I think it's working out for her. I think she does well with the alt-right audience, the comedy audience.
Right. You got to find your niche.
The racist right-wing comedy audience is her niche.
That's the
Turner hasn't found. Turner has not gotten into any of these niches yet. But one day you're going to protest something.
One day I'm going to jump in. But so, yeah, are there comedians doing that?
No, and I would imagine that when a protest in the U.S. happens, it's mostly Hollywood people that do that or actors. It's more than comedians.
No, there's a lot of like young progressive minded people who
the actors, I know what you're saying, like the Hollywood actors will put out video, they won't actually go down to the protest.
Well, they're like Susan Sarandon will or someone, but like
Susan Sarandon, they'll put out videos saying, you know, it's usually a black and white video and they don't have very makeup serious. On that's how you know they're serious.
Yeah, or they have makeup on but they had the makeup person make it look like they don't have makeup on.
Yeah. And then they'll speak in a very monotone and they'll be like, we support you.
And then they sing Imagine.
And they sing Imagine. And they say, this is not right. What's happening to poor people is not right. Meanwhile, they have hundreds. They live in like $100 million.
Well, yeah. And they would also support a strike because they would have a workaround to any strike. Because they. Yeah.
I think I remember Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad going, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
Self-hating.
It's part of the problem.
Yeah. No, what's happening with comics when it comes to the strikes and the protests is just what you would expect, meaning... everybody uses it as fodder to do like, you know, videos on Instagram about it.
They like doing a video in front of the fire. Yeah.
We just use it for content. You know, we just use the news and fuck around. Content. And so,
I want to get in more into this when we come back, but we got to take a break, Kaplan. Oh, we are part of the world's smartest podcast network, worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com, to get all the shows. That includes Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage podcast. That includes Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast. And Kaplan, this is a spot right here. I think next week, Drew Fralick's sending us an ad. We have ads from our $20 a month sponsors. If you throw in $20 a month on patreon.com/lostinamerica, we will read your ad copy right here. We'll say whatever you want us to say.
If you want to raise the pension age to 75, we'll read it. Whatever you want, we'll do.
Whatever you want, we'll do. And now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, local sponsors. We love you.
Thank you, sponsors. It's always great to have you keeping the lights on over here. All right. So, I wanted to ask about this. So one thing I read, and back to this theory that the French are better at protesting than we are. They said that because you have a parliamentary system in government, and there might be like 9 parties at one time that represented in government, or 7 or 8 or whatever it might be, then it's more... there's more of a chance that one of those parties will align with the protesters pretty closely and will take what the protesters' message is and put it straight into parliament. They'll be their representatives in parliament directly.
Just go populism at its finest.
Whereas in the United States, we have 2 parties, which is complete horseshit. We have Democrats and Republicans. And while they might kind of agree, neither one of those sides is willing to stick their neck out. And they know if they don't do it, the other one probably won't either. And then they all can just ignore you.
Oh, well, what's going on here is basically since it's one party doing it, pretty much it's like the president's party called La République En Marche. Every other party is an enemy. So they are all against it now.
I saw that like Le Pen's party is like the same with the like left wing socialists.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Which I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
Yeah, you're making strange bedfellows.
Yeah, but that's what's happening is basically it's all on the president and all on his party, and everybody else is against him because they all want to run in a couple years, I think, or more, and win. So,
but yeah, do they all privately know that it's probably a good idea to raise the age at some point because of financial the books?
Yeah, I tried to look up arguments for raising, like who is for. I was looking for, like, I don't know, a Twitter account that would be like for the raising of the retirement. I could not find any argument. So either nobody wants this or nobody wants to vocalize that they're against that shit, that they're against the protest, because they'll just get piled on online, you know? Even if I took a picture of the garbage in the streets and just like, here's the garbage in Paris right now. It would look like I'm not with the garbage people, and I would get like insults.
You get dragged.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the argument in favor of raising this the age is pretty obvious, right? I'm sure it saves money in the budget.
Yeah, and they always try to make it like this the only way to save money. Okay. And well, that's kind of hard to prove, and that's, you know, it's kind of biased. Obviously, it would save money. The question is, are there other ways to save money that would, you know, not penalize the poor so much? Because it all comes down to, yeah, my job's not that hard. I mean, it's comedy. Physically, it's not hard. It's more mentally, you know? And so it's more like difficult labor, physical jobs that are impacted by this. Because, yeah, who wants to be in a factory at 63, 4? So, yeah, I forgot the question.
So, yeah, we should make comedians work till they're 80. You've got a good point.
And that's my goal.
And then the fact you work.
Mel Brooks is like 98. He just put out a new show on Hulu. So we can do it. It is possible. Well, what about Macron? Is this, when's he up for election again?
Oh, shit. When was the last one? I think last 2021.
We did a pod about it, didn't we?
22. Because, it was a blur at the time.
He won, but not convincingly. He doesn't have a strong majority from what I remember.
Which is why it's so hard to pass this in the parliament, right? Because
it's also nobody likes him, but you know, you got like what, 70 million people. It's like no one's gonna be. He's like in the middle of like, he's kind of progressive on the social issues, but
he's like a Democrat
at the same time.
Yeah,
pretty much. And the thing is, he's just not very good at, like, you know, communicating to whoever vote for him. Like, there's a lot of like, how do you Mépris, how do you? It seems like the way Tucky despises the lower classes, and he doesn't give a fuck about them. And
right, he's an elite. And,
yeah, and he could lie. You know, if he was a good politician, he would lie. He would be, you know, he would kind of rub in the right way. But he's just like, yeah, I don't care. So that's gonna, you know,
did he know going in? Like, how frequently is this Article 49.3 used to just pass laws without the parliament voting for it? Does that happen a lot, or is this like a loophole that he just pulled on everyone they were surprised by? Or
it's becoming preoccupying because they're starting to do that a lot. They're starting to use this loophole, like, you know, more and more often. And
how does it work exactly? You just say like, all right, forget, we don't need a vote, I'm gonna pass it.
It basically means that the president goes, okay, I'm gonna pass this. I'm not gonna listen to any of you, but it's also, and you know, the counterpart is I'm responsible. So I think that's the basis of the article, is that it's my whole responsibility. Nobody's for that. Nobody's for this. They used like the, you know, increased use of this article. It's starting to feel a little, not democratic at all. And I think that's why even people who don't give a shit about.
Yeah, because it's scary. If Le Pen was in power, she's like the far right, you know, imagine if she just said she wouldn't have the parliament, just say, I'm just going to use this article every time to pass things. That would be.
Yeah. And what would these laws be, you know?
Yeah.
I think the article is only for anything that has to do with financial and like anything that has to do with Social Security. That's the only way you can use it, which is already a lot because it's just, well, it's money reforms. So it's going to be most reforms anyway. It's a creepy loophole that feels like a slippery slope.
He had to know this was going to be unpopular, right?
I think he's a sociopath and he doesn't care. And I think that's most presidents, at least that we've had. And he's
not ours.
He's governing for whoever voted for him and whoever is his class and his world. He's not going to give a shit about the, you know.
Okay, so with that in mind, though, is this a calculated move where he says, yes, there's 1 million people are protesting in the street, but there's 70 million people in my country. Maybe. This is something that he thinks is supported, or he's done the numbers. Is this is supported by more than the majority of people? I'm just taking the other side for the sake of it.
His argument is at this point, his argument is, hey, you motherfuckers voted for me.
Oh, get what you deserve.
Yeah. That's like, hey, the votes. And, you know, we also got elections for like regions and, you know, deputies and shit. So it's like, I think the argument is like, hey, you had the chance to vote if you didn't want that shit going on, if you didn't want any of us. Like, this is your choice. I think that's the way he brands it.
Okay.
Like, this is still democratic because we're the people that you voted for are doing it.
So you get what you get. And you don't throw a fit.
It's like dealing with children. Yeah. That's how I deal with my. So I should be dealing with my kids, but you know.
So does he? Can someone? I forget how the parliamentary system works. Like, if obviously he's not very popular right now, I would imagine he's not too popular.
Nope.
Can someone else call for an election, or can only he call for an election?
Shit.
Like, I think it was I want to run against
the president,
you right now.
Right?
I think
he's
only
not even,
he can do that.
There was a way for the loophole to not work. You know, it's called the motion de censure. Just like there.
Like, no confidence vote. Is that what that with
it? No, basically when you bypass the parliament and using the loophole in constitution, the parliament still gets to be like, hey, wait up. And then there's a vote, and the vote was in favor of Macron. You know, the different deputies.
But that was, if he would have lost that vote, right? There would have been an election, right? Is that how it's like a no confidence vote kind of thing?
But I don't think it would have been a re-election I think he would just have to like compose a new government, but I don't think he would have had
so
to
the parliament.
Leave. I don't think there would have been other.
You vote for the party, not the person. I always forget that part.
Well, he's voted separately. He's the president, and then there's a parliament, right? There's a prime minister. What's her name? What's the prime minister's name?
Elizabeth Bohm.
Elizabeth Bohm. That's it. Probably. So is she in? She's like in the same party though as him, or?
Yeah, I think so. And so
she could be replaced. Right, that's the thing, right? If they,
So he could like call for legislative elections where you elect, you know, deputies. He would not leave power at all for any of this, but he could, like, you know, revamp his government for something that, you know, fits more what the people want. Sorry. But yeah, I doubt that he would like resign because of this. That's not going to happen.
Doesn't sound like it's in his, he cares enough.
No. And, you know, I mean, it's like every president. I think we talked about Sarkozy last time. This, like, and I think the U.S. presidents do the same, where it's like you do the gig of president for a few years and then you get the fuck out of here and you do private stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they all have that goal in
corporate
mind.
Corporate gigs.
Yeah. So
speaking, so it's like being a comedian.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like $500,000 every conference to just be like, yeah, I was the president. So here's what I got to say for. Yeah. And you can do that for 20 years. And I think they're all like eyeing this as a goal. And so he knows he's going to be gone, basically. He's just doing the thing for his friends, you know, he's doing whatever pleases. He's just doing pleases the people that, yeah, the people that he's going to have to see for the next 20 years in his circle. That's who is working for right now, yes. Because he's going to be gone in a few years anyway and disappear in the private sector. Probably.
Doesn't he have, how is he still have the wife that's like much older? Is that Macron? He's got the like the cougar wife.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Because I can't believe he'd pass a law against her generation.
And isn't she like disturbingly unattractive, or am I thinking of someone else?
She's
hot for a 60-something year old.
But she was his babysitter when he was a kid or something like that.
She was a teacher. She was a teacher.
She Me Too
French
him.
Teacher.
It's not, it doesn't count. There's no Me Too in France, Captain.
Yeah, oh yeah. The whole French society would fall apart. You guys don't like, what do you think of like the Me Too movement in France? That's another topic.
it's a mixed bag. It's like the French version of Me Too, where you're still gonna have some people going, oh, she's 15, it's fine. That's still gonna happen. And then you also get the woke. You also get the woke people that you would have in the US. But it's the same debate of like, oh, she could ask for it. I mean, you know, it's the French version of it, where old actresses will go, I like to be harassed.
Part of our culture.
Yeah. I've watched a lot of French movies.
It's like what Latino people think of the Latinx term. They're like, no, stop. That's part of our culture.
But I mean, we do have an entertainment industry with the same kind of scumbags that you would meet in Hollywood.
Well, that hasn't changed. French movies, the French film industry is still scumbags and still.
Well, they get caught and some, like Luc Besson had issues recently. And Depardieu, they're trying to take him down. You know Luc Besson? I think you told me that last time, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
Kaplan only works for people who've Me Too'd people. He worked with Harvey Weinstein.
I worked with Harvey Weinstein. Yes, he once ran me over in an elevator.
Same building.
Get up. Yeah.
Kaplan knew everything. He just didn't say it.
you could still get in trouble.
That's
with
not
like
true, by the way. Listening audience, I'm joking. Kaplan did not know everything in advance.
I only knew a few things. No,
you're not helping yourself.
No, well, he gave me he paid me up. No, he obviously I didn't know anything, or I'd have a better career if I would. He would have been paying me hush money.
That's true.
No. Yeah,
anyway. We all know that you all knew. It's fine.
We all knew. All of America knew.
It's not like it wouldn't happen. It's like there's no Me Too. I mean, you could still get in trouble for allegations through, you know, social media and blah blah. It's just the French flavor of it, where it's a little less hardcore, a little more Me Too was mostly Me Too. To me, Me Too was mostly media and entertainment, and had nothing to do with society in general. And it was mostly cosmetic type of change anyway.
It was so in America, it mostly existed so Hollywood could have a whole Oscar congratulating themselves.
Yeah.
Well, finally doing the right thing after 100 years of doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. And I would say in America, at least in like New York City type in LA places, it changed like office culture a little bit, where people are scared to like have a relationship, like HR departments got involved and like nobody can. But in France, I assume people are still screwing at work and guys are still screwing their reception, their secretaries, stuff like that.
I think that's the main difference, is even before Me Too, like way, you know, for years, I've always thought like the laws for sexual harassment at the workplace in the US were super hardcore. It was like you can't even say hi. But
you're very scared. You don't want to compliment if someone looks nice. Don't even, just don't say anything. It's too risky.
I think it's how the movie Office Space starts, if I remember correctly. Like, it's in the culture of the U.S. like office world that,
because you don't like your jobs, though. You want to lose them anyway, so that's why you're protesting. No one wants to work.
I think we glossed over to get back to it. You said this briefly, Adrian, but I think what we're trying to figure out the difference between why the French protests are more successful than the American ones. You don't have guns with real bullets that police shoot, right?
That's true.
That's a big deterrent to protesting.
But they don't shoot protesters in America. They shoot people to lead to protests.
State, you ever heard of that?
Okay, that was a long time ago now.
Yeah, but it happened.
It did happen, yes. Fair point.
It can happen. It would not really. Yeah, I doubt that the police would shoot real bullets. And I think that has a lot to do with it. If anybody dies, it's because they got trampled or heart attack or something. It would not be because of gunshot.
And then I also read there's this thing where all the unions have a fund that go to pay people while they're protesting. Because if you're on strike, then you're not getting paid by your job because you're on strike. So then the union will pay you some type of money. Maybe, I don't know if it's the full salary or not, to go strike. That's such a cool idea.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why it's sufficient, because, I mean, how can you not work a day every couple of days?
I mean, that's a real loophole, though. You call yourself on strike and you're actually making money. I don't know. You're not like a...
Well, that's why you strike so often. Who cares?
Because I've been waiting. You know, the Writers Guild in America, they keep threatening to strike every few years in the Hollywood industry. And I want to become a scab. My dream is to be a scab.
Are you part of the Writers Guild?
No, I want to be a scab. I want them to go on strike and Hollywood to hire us to write some movies.
That's our only shot.
Yeah, but if they were getting paid a fund, they would stay on strike even longer. So that would be a great idea. But yeah, that's genius.
That is good. So all right. So the way it sounds like Macron's probably done. He knows he's on his way out and he's just taking care of his buddies on the way out. That all adds up logically.
Yeah, and when I say he's on his way out, he's still got, I think, 4 years of presidency. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A few more.
And I don't know if he can run again or not. But in the long term, in the next, I don't know, decade, that's how he's going to be. How he's going to get old and be, he's still going to be there, you know, the former president, Emmanuel Macron. And then, he'll just do private conferences and work in the, you know, the private sector in general.
Wait for his wife to die so he can get some action off it.
And what about you, man? You have touring plans this year?
Touring, you do dates on the road. I was in Lille yesterday. The way it works in France is if you got an hour, it's like a giant French festival that never stops.
Yeah,
you're in Paris, where everybody's got an hour every week, and you're supposed to kind of
do hour every week.
Wow.
No, not a new hour every week. It's the exact opposite. Is you get your hour, and then it's like a play, and you're supposed to like do it in every market possible.
The exact same hour every time as your sister.
Yeah, and that's kind of boring to me. So I don't feel like doing that right now. Like, you know, you're supposed to like install, you know, settle your show in Paris for a while, do it every week. But there's like every comic does it, so the market is like oversaturated. It's kind of hard to sell tickets unless you're like hardcore grinding on Instagram. And even then, it might not be a guarantee. So right now, I'm pretty much building an act. And I also kind of want to travel outside of France because I want to do more stand-up in English because that's where real fun is.
Come
not
to New
the
York,
money,
man.
But the fun.
Yeah, we got
it. I was going to come back before COVID. And now, you know, I'm thinking about it for next year. And also, Europe has got like some cool, English-speaking scenes when it comes to stand-up. You can go to Berlin or Amsterdam. There's a lot of spots you can do there. So that's probably the first step of what I do is, you know, stick around in Europe. And if I ever actually, you know, try to go to the US for, you know, quite some time, I would like to have an act that I'm not ashamed of, you know, because I hit the 10-year mark and I realized, I kind of have to scrape the hackiness off of me now. And I think that's part of the process.
It is. Yeah. Because step one is just trying to get an act together that works on stage for an hour.
Just not bomb.
Not bomb. Just have people laughing. Yeah. And then like step two is, you get the luxury of being like, okay, now I know I can do an hour. Now I want to do a good one. And then you're like, I want to make sure the good one that's like not, it sounds specifically like me and not like anyone else. But those are steps and steps and steps.
Well, and there, I think there is such a thing as good enough for Europe or good enough for France or good enough for, or like, I want to be as good as the shit I click on, you know, on YouTube or Netflix. I at least we want to aspire to that, because otherwise, you can be the king of Paris English stand-up comedy. It doesn't really matter, you know.
Yeah.
And the bar is not very high because it's not a real business. It's a over smaller there. Scene. So, and I just want to be I just want to be good.
So. Awesome. So you're trying to put together. So when you say everyone does a new hour and then they tour it around like a fringe festival, you mean like a fringe, like an Edinburgh Fringe Festival hour for our audience, which means it might have a story all the way through. It's not necessarily funny the whole time.
Yeah. There's that.
Crying, a message. A lot of crying.
A message that you need to have about whatever. And
some type of like a political left wing message. Has there ever been a right wing Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
January 6th girl could do it.
Oh, that's what Chrissy Mayer could do. A whole hour about
anyone can do it.
Storm the Capitol.
Oh yeah, you get in the same city, in the same market, you get both the you know, cliche blue haired whatever, and then you get the you know, other cliche cancel culture. That coexists.
Oh yeah, you're right. That already exists. Those people are weak.
Yeah, and there's a market for everybody. I mean, you know, you just got to find it. Some people is like. Yeah, you gotta find your specialty. Oh, that guy has props. I mean, you know, it's kind of corny, but
so it's just
you're in Paris and there's a lot of theaters, a lot of small rooms, and everybody's got their hour, but they're like 2 years in, so I think it's insane.
Agreed.
To do that. Yeah. And it oversaturates the market, and then you can go on tour. And I mean, the cool thing is that in France now, there's new comedy clubs opening. So now you can finally tour if you have an hour stand-up. You can actually go in comedy clubs. Before that, you used to have to go to like, you know, municipal theaters.
Yeah.
Theaters where it's like a city. Yeah. And it's owned by the city. So it's financed by the government. So it's the you know, the budget for culture, they call that. Mm. And so you become leverage because the mayor shows up like, hey, it's thanks to me that this comic is here. So I kind of want to bypass that.
Different feel from like a drunken comedy club.
Don't make any jokes about the mayor.
Yeah, and the old people are here because they bought like tickets for the whole year. It's a weird thing I don't want to be a part of, and especially if I can now tour in comedy clubs. So that's what I'll be doing with the next 2 years, probably. Fantastic.
Because in America, back before we had comedy clubs, the comedians in the 60s, they used to do strip clubs.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you guys do that? I
mean, they didn't strip though, just to
no.
They
a lot
of them are. They opened for the strippers.
Yeah, they would do.
A lot of them are former brothels. A lot of comedy clubs are open. Former brothels or basements that used to probably be there to hide during the war. You know,
bunkers.
You see a lot of tunnels and weird. You know, like what was this in the 40s? What was going on there?
Well, that's kind of cool. That's what we should.
It's pretty cool. We're and
doing a TV show in France. Let's mark that down as an idea.
And I guess stand-up culture and theater culture are not separated yet. So it's still a little bit of, you know, people don't write their own jokes necessarily, or they hire someone to tell them how to do them. Oh. You know, metteur en scène, they call that. It hasn't been a schism between
stand-up
the two.
Coach?
Yeah. It's fucking weird, bro. And some people don't even write any of their jokes.
It's old school to have like a joke writer and be a comedian. That's how it used to be in the old 50s. Days in America too. Yeah.
I used to get yelled at. I used to get yelled at because I didn't want to get a co-writer. It's like, I'm a year in. Why would I get pay someone to write jokes for me? That's stupid.
Oh my gosh.
How do you even there's like a service, like people know, like go find this.
Well, and also part of learning to be a comedian is learning how to write jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a whole like circle of the industry. That's the people who would, you know, normally write for TV to also write for comedians, but like 75% of the show. And so they get royalties. Like they, like if you write a song for Beyonce or whatever, you know?
Right. It's like,
but you know, some people get it and the comedy clubs are, you know, opening. And I think over time, the two cultures were willing, because I heard the same thing about the UK. That they were kind of pretentious or in theater and shit. And, but you also get the, you know, the cool comedy club vibe.
Well, it's also, bizarre to me about all that. And I didn't realize it till I started like kind of running into these comedians who do those hours where like they're partially crying and stuff, you know, they've somehow decided that they're doing like some elevated form of what we're doing, but we're the ones writing an hour of jokes. Yeah.
Like, they're writing like, write jokes and it is to cry.
They write like 20 minutes of jokes and they cry
go out there and cry.
I'm like, how are you? Yeah, what you're like, doing better than what we're doing? You know?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm interesting. Yeah, but it's just easier to be interesting than funny.
Totally.
For real. Well, different far, you're a storyteller then. That's a thing. Yeah. Like you could be a storyteller, but you're not a comedian.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. Henry Rollins, right? He's a spoken word.
Spoken word.
Spoken word. Yeah, it's like that.
Which does, I guess does exist in New York, but it would be in Broadway, on Broadway, right? If you did that, yeah. If you did a one man with a theme.
It used to be more of a thing you would see, but yeah, now it's like it's only a higher form or
Like yeah, I think really Mark Maron thing. Had one, but it was like, I think it was called the Jerusalem Syndrome, and he did it like precisely on Broadway because it was like off the market of stand-up comedy pretty much.
I've seen Henry Rollins do it. It's pretty interesting, but it's not stand-up, but he also doesn't think it's stand-up.
I think he's coming to Paris. I might want to check him out.
He's a maniac. I would go see it. It's pretty fun. I saw him like 20 years ago, but it was good. All right, that's the show. Adrian, yeah. Thank you for doing it.
That was great, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Check out to New York. To put it in the intro, Queens. But I'll put it in the description of the show. Check out Adrian Arnoux on Instagram, Adrien Aroux. Yeah, Aroux.
It's a fresh name.
Comedy.
It's a fresh name. There's an X that you don't pronounce.
Adrien Aroux comedy on Instagram. Follow him, everybody. Exactly. If you enjoy us, please follow him. It helps everybody out. That is it, Kaplan from What Should We Do? We're the end.
I mean, I'm in the mood from this whole hour. I'm gonna go have my first cigarette in about a decade. I'm gonna.
Oh my god! You mean this? So,
yeah.
There you go, man.
That looks great. Get laid up. Get lost.
Get lost.
I'm gonna stop my lighter with this.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.